Good to be back with you again this evening. I appreciate so much the presence of everyone. And those of you who are visiting with us, we want you to know that we are grateful that you've come to be with us tonight. When you are troubled, you have problems, you're discouraged, you get down, where do you turn? Where do you go for help? You know, many people will go to their therapist or psychologist to give them answers. And I'm not opposed to therapists and psychologists. But many of these will give bad advice. You know, there's good counsel and there is bad counsel. As a matter of fact, in Scripture we read of this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 2 through 4, Ahaziah became the king of Judah. And he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, who was the king of Israel. For his mother advised him to do wickedly. That's Athaliah. Therefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. You know, people can give bad counsel. If you follow that, it will be detrimental to your life. We also find in 1 Kings 12, when Rehoboam was faced with the decision of whether or not to lessen the taxes that his father had put upon them. That's what the people were requesting. And it says in 1 Kings 12, beginning with verse 6, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon. Verse 8 says, and consulted the young men who had grown up with him. So he consulted the elders who gave him advice, says, yes, lighten the load, lighten the taxes. But then he consulted with the young men who said, no, add to their burden. Verse 13, then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men. And we know the end of that story. The kingdom was divided. The 10 northern tribes rejected Rehoboam as their king, and they set up Jeroboam as their king, and the kingdom was divided. In other words, there's wise counsel, there's unwise counsel. Well, we can get some bad counsel if we're not careful. There is, though, a counselor we can always trust to give us good counsel. And, of course, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. This was prophesied by Isaiah 700 years before Christ was born, where Isaiah says in Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now notice among the names of this son, this child who would be born, is Counselor. And that's true of Jesus. This is a prophecy of Jesus. He is Wonderful and Counselor. So we could call Jesus then our Wonderful Counselor. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. I want to talk about Jesus, whom we can go to in time of trouble and trials, and whom we can get good advice. We can always be assured of that. You know, in seeking for counselors today, what do you consider in order to determine whether or not you want to go to this counselor to receive advice from him? Well, you ask, introduce these passages that emphasize the fact that Jesus is one that will give us good counsel. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the way, the truth, and the life. If you want life, you can find it in Jesus. John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. You know, many people do have troubles and trials and hardships in this life. But what Jesus is promising here, I will give you life. Even here, more abundantly life, and in the world to come, everlasting life. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, Paul says, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us, that is, Jesus became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, Jesus is wisdom from God. Also in Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10, beware, Paul says, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, that's what you'll get from people of the world. But he says, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. And so we can find completeness, we can find life, we can find peace, we can find joy in the midst of troubles and problems. But it's through Jesus Christ. He provides that for us. Now, as I mentioned earlier, as you're seeking for counselors today, what are the things that you'll look to in order to find a good counselor? Well, I suggest to you, you'll look at his qualifications. Is he qualified to be a counselor? And you'll look at his methods. What methods does he use in order to help you, to direct you? And what is his success? You look at those who have been to him for help. How has he helped them? Has he had good success? And also you look at his charges. How much does he charge you? And you'll pay some exorbitant prices going to some therapists and counselors today. And so these are the things that you would look at if you were going to look for a counselor. Well, let's look at these in relation to Jesus, our wonderful counselor. Let's look at his qualifications, his methods, his success, and his charges. Well, first let's talk about his qualifications. Well, first of all, he knows exactly what's inside me. He knows exactly what my problems are. He knows what is within men. Sometimes I'm suspicious of men who come to me because I don't know what their motives are. I don't know exactly what's going on inside them and if they're wanting to use me or really help me. One thing about Jesus, He knows exactly what is in the hearts of men. In John chapter 2, and we studied this back a few weeks ago in studying the book of John. And by the way, I don't have these scriptures up on the screen that we'll be looking at. But in John chapter 2, in verses 24 and 25, it says, "But Jesus did not commit Himself to them because He knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for He knew what was in man." And so Jesus knows exactly what our problems are. He knows exactly what is inside us. You remember in the letters unto the seven churches of Asia, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we find that in those letters that Jesus was addressing to these churches, at the beginning of all of them, He says, "I know your works. I know where you live. I know. And the point is that He knew exactly the condition of those churches. He knew exactly what problems they had. He knew exactly the areas in which they needed to change. He knew the good things that they were doing. He was fully aware of all that they were doing. Now, that's our counselor. He's qualified because He knows exactly what I need. He knows exactly what my problems are. And also, He has all wisdom. As we read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 30, let's look at that again, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 30 and 31. He says, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." Notice verse 31. That as it is written, "He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." In other words, He has all wisdom. He knows what we need. Look at Colossians chapter 2, in verses 2 and 3. Colossians 2, beginning with verse 2. "That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ." Notice, "in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." If you want someone who has all wisdom and knowledge, knows exactly what needs to be done, that's Jesus Christ. He has it all. And another thing about Jesus, He loves me. He wants what's best for me. We're not going to look at all of these passages here, but we can see the fact that He loves me in that He gave Himself up for me. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Notice, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. He loved us how much? He gave His life for us that we might be saved from sin. So when I look at Jesus' qualifications, I see that He knows me, He has all wisdom, He loves me, and He has experience. He knows exactly what I've gone through because He's been through it. Someone might say, well, God has never lived here upon this earth. He don't know, doesn't know. Well, Jesus was God in the flesh, and He went through what we went through, what we go through. Look at Ephesians, or Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He is on an equality with God, but notice what he goes on to say. He says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He partook of flesh and blood, just like what we have. And he knows what it means to suffer. Look with me also in Hebrews chapter 2, and beginning with verse 14. Hebrews 2, beginning with verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. And then also in chapter 4, in verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows how we feel. And so when I look at His qualifications, He is one who can truly help me. Because He knows me. He has all wisdom and understanding. He loves me. He wants what's best for me. He knows how I feel. Well, let's talk about His methods. What are His methods in helping us? Well, one thing, He encourages us to talk. He wants us to pray. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, in nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so the Lord wants us to then pray to God about our problems. And God will be with us and help us through these. And in praying to God, knowing that God cares and knowing that He will be with us, then the peace of God, the peace that God provides, then will guard our hearts and minds. That is, guard it from anxiety and from frustration, from worry. It will guard our minds, our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so that's what He wants us to do, is to pray. And in Luke 11, and also in Luke 18, there are two parables that Jesus gives. The parable of the persistent widow and the parable of the persistent friend who came and knocked on the door wanting bread from his friend. And the point of those parables is that Jesus is teaching us to continue to pray to God. Continue to pray, to continue to talk to Him. Because here's a loving God who cares for us. You know, several years ago, there was a man who put an ad in a Kansas newspaper. It contained only 15 words, but it got surprising results. And here were the words that this ad contained. It said, "I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without a comment for $5. Sounds like a hoax, doesn't it? But it was legitimate. And after he ran the ad for several days, he was receiving 10 to 20 calls a day. There were people who just wanted somebody to listen to them. Let me tell you something. We have someone who will listen. And that is God. And Jesus is saying to us, pray to Him. Pray because He will listen and He will help in times of need. He provides self-examination. The Lord wants us to examine ourselves in order that we might see ourselves as we really are. The benefits of self-examination is that we're able to see the areas of our lives in which we need to change. As we compare our life with God's Word, which is the perfect standard, then we're able then to see the areas in which we need to change. And that's what the Lord provides for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul said to the church in Corinth, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith." Notice that. Examine to yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. It's possible for us to think that we're in the faith, that everything's fine, when we're not. And so he says, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Did you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you're disqualified? How am I going to know if Jesus Christ is in me or whether I'm disqualified? I've got to examine myself. And I do that by comparing my life with God's Word. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, 17 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. And so that Word is able to reprove and correct. And so it helps me to see myself as I really, really am. And the Lord provides for that self-examination and encourages me to do that. And that's a part of His method. And the thing about it is I know that the standard by which He wants me to examine myself is the perfect standard. It is the very words of God. Counselors today will give me advice based upon some book that he may have read that was written by men based on human wisdom, human philosophy. And I'll tell you, I know that which the Lord wants me to compare myself to determine where I need to change. And that is the perfect will of God. And that's the method that God, that the Lord provides for us. You know, many therapists today will tell you that there's no absolute standard to live by. They'll basically tell you, do your own thing, do whatever you want to do. And you end up going your own way, directing your own path, and then you'll find that you have made a serious mistake. What the Lord does is He advises and counsels us according to His Word. The counsel and advice of many therapists today, as we mentioned, is to do whatever makes you feel good. Don't ever feel condemned. Don't let anybody condemn you. Don't let anybody make you feel guilty. You just do whatever makes you feel good. Whatever your heart tells you to do, you to do that. And they'll even tell you that, you know, and it's not your fault. The reason you're having these problems is because of what your parents did. It's because of what so-and-so did to you. And I'm not saying that others may not have to bear part of the blame of where I'm at this time. But you know, it doesn't matter what the problems I may have. It doesn't matter what emotional problems I may have. There is means of getting through that. There is a solution to those problems. And it's going to be based on the decisions that I make, whether or not I look to the wonderful counselor that Jesus is and follow His advice and use His method, or whether I'm going to follow somebody else's advice. If we'll follow the advice of Jesus, and that's a choice each and of us have, we can all make that choice. And as we'll see in a moment, there will be good results. But the choice is mine. Many today will tell you that it doesn't matter, just follow your heart, do whatever feels good, and that leads you down the wrong road. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We need God's standard, His Scriptures that He has provided for us. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, There's a way that seems right unto a man, but its end is the way of death. Don't go according to the way you think, but make sure that you follow the instructions that the Lord gives. Jesus' counsel and advice will convict us of sin and will convert the soul and give life. One thing that I need to understand that if ever I'm going to be helped by Jesus, I've got to come to grips with the sins that I have committed in my life. And I've got to come to realization that it is because of sin is the reason that we have all the problems that we have in this life. And that in order for me to then to solve these problems, it's going to be through coming to Jesus. And I first, though, need to be convicted of the sins within my own life and turn from them. And in fact, that's the reason that the Holy Spirit came to this earth. When Jesus ascended, He then sent the Holy Spirit who came and revealed the Word of God. And that's what we now have in Scripture. And here's what Jesus said in John 16 and verse 8. He says, And when He has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will convict the world of sin. And you find that in the book of Acts, as you read through the preaching of the gospel, as the apostles went out and preached the gospel of Christ, one of the things that they did is they convicted people of their sins. In Acts 2, Peter preached to people who had crucified Jesus some days earlier. And they come to realize that this Jesus whom they had crucified is both Lord and Christ, that He is truly the Son of God. And they were cut to the heart. It says in Acts 2 and verse 37. They come to realize that they had crucified the Son of God. They had committed sin. And they said, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them what to do. As he was moved by the Holy Spirit, he says, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And about 3,000 did that. They received the Word. They were baptized. And they were saved in that day. And you go out throughout the book of Acts, and you see where many others were converted to Jesus as they listened to Him, as they were convicted of their sins and turned to Him for the forgiveness of sins. That's what the Lord calls upon us to do. Examine yourself. And when you see yourself as sinners, which we all do, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and then we then turn to Him who will provide us with forgiveness of those sins and provide us with peace and hope and provide us with help. We're now a child of God and He'll be with us as we turn to Him, as we talk to Him, as we pray to Him, as we look to the guidance of the Lord and Scripture and we follow that. We'll get through whatever problems there may be in this life. The Lord will provide that. Well, what about His success? Well, there were no failures for all who applied the treatment. Read in the book of Acts. Of all the cases of people who turned to Jesus and obeyed Him, they found forgiveness, they found peace. They got life. And they had hope of eternal life. And they were on fire for the Lord. And there was joy in their heart. And that's what the Lord provides. And if we will take Him in, then we can be assured that will happen to us too. And we will be able to get through the problems of this life through Jesus. If we'll truly put our faith in Him and follow Him and follow His method, follow His advice, His instructions. This is what Jesus, our wonderful Counselor, promises. You remember in Matthew chapter 11 when He says, Come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Labor, heavy laden. He's talking about the load on your soul. Because He says in verse 29, and you will find rest for your soul. So this labor and burden that He's talking about here is that which affects the soul. Well, what causes this labor and this burden? Sin does. And so when he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden," he's talking about those burdened with sin, which we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so he's inviting us all to come to him. And he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." In other words, take on his burden. Let him now direct me. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." I don't think many believe that, and that's the reason they don't come. I think there's some who think they come to Jesus, and they've made a certain kind of commitment, but it's not a full commitment. They have really taken on the burden of Christ and let Him control them in all aspects of their life. And then they still have these problems and they still are burdened and there's still this anxiety and this guilt in their life. I'll tell you, the problem is not with our counselor here. It's not with Jesus. The problem is that they haven't really committed. What Jesus is saying to me when He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden," He's saying, "You come, you give your life to me. You come under my control completely." And that's what it means to become a disciple of Christ. And when we do that and we don't leave anything else for ourselves, we don't say, "Okay, I'm going to come to you, but I'm still going to hold on to this sin." Here's an alcoholic, a drunkard. And he says, "Lord, I'll come to you, but I can't give up my drinking." Or a person who is sexually promiscuous, is a fornicator. And he says, "Lord, I'll come to you, but I'm still going to live with my girlfriend." In other words, he's not fully committing his life to Jesus, to follow Jesus in all that he has commanded. He's still holding on to certain sins within his life. Well, he's not coming to Jesus. When Jesus says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest," He's talking about letting Him control your life, giving your life completely unto Him, denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Him as He has said if we are to be His disciple. And when we do that, there will always be success. Now, that doesn't mean we won't have problems, but in the midst of the problems, there will be peace. There will be reasons for rejoicing. There will be hope. And we can be assured of that. Well, what about his charges? Well, they are free. They're free. Look with me in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 23. Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God," some translations say the free gift of God, "is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The free gift. It's a gift from God, nothing that we earn. Look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." In other words, our salvation is by grace, God's grace, His favor for us, that we don't merit. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. We don't have the right to say, "Look at what I did, and look at my... what I have done that has brought about this salvation and this hope and this peace." No, it's a free gift. And that hope and that peace and that joy that we have is that which the Lord provides us freely by His grace. It is a gift. And someone might be saying, "Well, is not obedience to Jesus required? You just talked about you've got to come to Him, you've got to obey Him to be saved." Well, this is the treatment. When we apply the treatment, He gives us life. It cost us nothing. And so when we're talking about obedience, we're not earning anything. We're not really paying for it. What we receive is free, but we must come to Him and obey Him. That's just the treatment. As He has said, come to Me, give your life to Me, and I will freely give you what you cannot obtain by yourself. You cannot have it by yourself. But I'll give it to you if you'll come and apply the treatment to your life. Well, what about you this evening? You may have problems. You have troubles within your life. There's guilt. There's frustrations, worry. Let me tell you that you can have some peace, and it comes through Jesus, but you've got to give your life completely to Him. He's our wonderful counselor. I'm not opposed to therapists and counselors. I'm not saying that they can't help in going to them, but I'll tell you this, any counselor that doesn't lead you to Jesus, any counselor that does not provide you with information that's consistent with His Word, is not going to help you. You need to make sure that whatever advice you might get from others, that it is advice that's consistent with what the Lord says, and that it is not separated from Jesus. It is consistent with coming to Jesus. And they can help you, but it has to be a coming to Christ and making sure that we follow His methods, His instructions, if we're going to find this peace and this joy in the midst of troubles, in the midst of trials. I'm not opposed to medication. Don't misunderstand me. There's medication that is needed because of chemical imbalances, and there's a need for that. And that can be helpful at times. But it's not that which is really going to give us peace. It's not really going to help us through the problems. It will help us with some physical problems that we're having, but it's what really gives us that peace and that joy and that hope in the midst of the problems in this life is Jesus Christ, our wonderful Counselor. And if you haven't come to Jesus, we encourage you to do that tonight. Come to Jesus who died for you that you might be saved. He loves you more than you can comprehend, and He really wants to bless you. But you must come. And that means come to Him believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And on the basis of the faith that you have in Him, repent of all sin. All sin. You can't bring any sin with you. You've got to determine, I'm going to put away it all. You might think, I don't know how I'm going to do it. But God will help you. But in your mind, the repentance is, every sin, I'm going to put it away. I'm going to strive to never do it again. Because it's against God. It's against Jesus. That's essential. Repentance is necessary for salvation. And repentance is across the board. I'm putting away all sin. Don't try to bring any sin with you because you do. There's not going to be peace. There's not going to really be that joy. But if you'll come and totally give your life completely to Him, that penitent, believing heart, and then not be ashamed of Him, confess your faith before this group here and wherever you go, that you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He is Lord, and then be baptized. Tonight we have water here where you can be immersed in water. As Jesus commanded, He says that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Peter, as he was guided by the Holy Spirit, told the Jews on the day of Pentecost, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. If you'll do that, then you'll find forgiveness of sins and you'll have the hope of eternal life. We encourage you to come. If you need to come, please come while together we stand and sing.